You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Settery, joined by Jim Aiello of the Indianapolis Star, the Colts beat writer over there. Also hosts the Cover One podcast with fellow Colts insider, Joel A. Erickson. Jim, how are you doing today on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing well. Getting ready, excited for a couple weeks from now when this thing gets going, free agency.
Yeah, we're just under 2 weeks away now. I think March 17th is the official league year opening, free agency as well as the same day, where you're going to be hearing a lot of legal, and there's probably even still, Jim, at this point, illegal tampering going on with some agents around the NFL, with some teams. And we're going to dive into free agency today for the Indianapolis Colts, talk through some options for them as far as retaining guys or not, if they could walk in free agency. And then we'll dive in the second part of the show, talking about some names and positions that the Colts could really target here in less than 2 weeks in free agency once it opens. But, Jim, let's start off here at the biggest elephant in the room, in my opinion, and one, I think, after the quarterback decision where – it seemed like to me everyone's turned their eyes to this situation. It's T.Y. Hilton, the Colts legend, the last 9 years of the NFL. He's been really since day one, even though he's like under Reggie Wayne's wing for a year or two, was an immediate producer with Andrew Luck. And we always obviously know the connection with Luck and Hilton throughout their career, but Luck retires in 2018. Hilton's numbers kind of fall off a little bit with Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers. First off, just with T.Y. Hilton, what's your expectation there? Because all three guys, Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, that triumvirate for the Colts organization, have all said they want T.Y. back. But it's really about the money. So it's really intriguing to me, like, what T.Y. could get on the open market here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be the big question, right, is what can he get on the open market? And I think that's going to be determined in part, at least by the guys that are going to get tagged, kind of the bigger names at the top of the market. Are we going to see Chris Godwin get tagged? Are we going to see Kenny Galladay get tagged? Allen Robinson get tagged or re-signed, I guess, in the same options? Juju Smith-Schuster has said he wants to be back in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh has said the same thing about him. So I think – one of the things that is interesting about this offseason is it can be determined, like, T.Y. could be sitting near the top of the market if those guys all go back to their original teams, or he could be, you know, sixth, seventh on the list of receivers. So I think that will help shape his market. The other thing is, weird offseason, salary cap is dropping. We don't know how much. The floor is going to be $180 million. I've talked to some people that think it'll be 85 to 88. We've also heard some people say it'll be 183, 184. So I think we're still waiting to hear exactly what that'll be. But that, again, will help determine, are there going to be teams that cut players loose? And those a guy like Emmanuel Sanders strikes me as somebody that could get cut by the Saints because they need to free up some cap space. So where does he fall and how does he affect the market? So there's a lot of interesting kind of side factors for the Colts, but when determining bringing back T.Y. Hilton. But I think the main thing is letting T.Y. – they're going to let T.Y. go to the market and say, what can you get? And then we'll see where that we're at with that. They've had every opportunity to try to bring him back before this, but they're not the kind of team that sets the market. That's not what they do. So while they want T.Y. Hilton back, like you said, Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, Frank Reich have all said they want T.Y. Hilton back. They want him back at a price they think is manageable. So they're going to let him go out in the market, see what he can get. And then we'll see from there.
In the scenario, Jim, where let's say Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, and Chris Godwin are tagged, easily the top three guys in the market here. So Chicago, Detroit, and Tampa Bay keep their guys around for at least one more year. The list of like five guys that really stand out to me as far as top in the free agency list goes is Juju Smith-Schuster. And you throw in Corey Davis from Tennessee. I think someone's going to pay for him with his potential. Curtis Samuel from Carolina. Will Fuller with Houston. I think he's going to go somewhere to a contender and get some good money as well. And T.Y. Hilton, you could put T.Y. anywhere from top three to top five on that list of five guys there, Jim. In that scenario where Robinson, Galladay, and Godwin are tagged, do you feel that lessens the chance that T.Y. returns in that scenario? Because I feel like one team out there, whether it be like a Green Bay or even a team like even a Jackson, I'd be surprised if it goes to Jacksonville, but a team that really overpays for a T.Y. Hilton, do you think those three guys off the market can really decide if T.Y. Hilton stays or not?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I guess if those three guys are out there and the teams that they're leaving have determined they're probably not going to spend so much money at receiver and go on a kind of different direction with their cap, and therefore teams like Green Bay or San Francisco or Miami, I know, is interested in receivers. Those guys, maybe they go after the top of the market guys, and that makes it more likely that T.Y. Hilton comes back to Indianapolis. But I think you're exactly right. I think if those guys get tagged, stay with their current teams, I think it maybe makes it less likely T.Y. comes back because they'll have more suitors. out there. And then again, it's going to be really interesting to see what he gets on the market. I think receivers are, it's one of those weird positions where I think they, it kind of gets inflated maybe more than you'd think. So I could see him easily, going over 10, 11, 12 million being per year. I mean, and being around there, I could also, see him coming in less depending on what the market is. It's hard to guess just because we haven't really seen an offseason like this before.
Yeah. With that being said, with the COVID-19 just situation with the NFL and the salary cap decreasing to where it was, according to SpotTrack, they have T.Y. Hilton's value at around $10 million per year. Yeah. Do you feel like that's a fair number for the Colts? Like you mentioned, it's just so hard to tell right now at the official salary cap numbers. The Colts could fall under between like $43 to even like $55 million in the next couple of weeks if the salary cap is more than we originally expected to be. Do you feel like around like $8 to $10 million is probably the average line you look for if you're the Colts and maybe just looking ahead to the free agency for T.Y. Hilton? Because I feel like if it gets above $10 million to me, I feel like that's where the Colts could draw the line.
Yeah, and I think $10 million is about right. I mean, maybe even close to 12. Like I said, Emmanuel Sanders was not quite the same production level as T.Y. Hilton, around the same age and signed for 2 years, 24 with New Orleans last year. So that to me is not a bad place to look for a comparative deal. That might be a little high, but maybe not. I don't know. A couple of years ago, I think at 30 years old, Golden Tate signed for, I think it was 4 years and around $37 million. It was just over $9.5 million per year, but obviously a couple more guaranteed because it was a longer deal. Like I said, it's really interesting to see how that'll shape, again, the guaranteed money versus the total dollars in it. But my guess would be T.Y. gets double digits. But I don't know how many years. Again, he has said in the past, what we do know is that he wants to make this his last contract. He said he wants to retire after this deal and ideally retire a Colt. But I don't know if that's does that happen after a 2-year deal, a 3-year deal, a 4-year deal? Is that what he's looking for? But again, I would be surprised if it came in under 10. But again, I don't know how much above 10 it'll go.
Let's go to Xavier Rhodes now, Jim. I think right there you could put T.Y. and Rhodes 1A, 1B, however you like. But I feel like he's a priority re-sign for this team if they want to keep the same production that we saw last year at cornerback, unless you want to roll the dice on like an Akilah Witherspoon for San Francisco or maybe draft a guy in the first few rounds of the draft. But Xavier Rhodes did so well for himself last year after a really rough time in Minnesota over his last couple of years. Really fits his zone scheme really well. But Jonathan Gannon now is in Philadelphia. I can't imagine Rhodes going to Philadelphia because they really don't have much cap space. But do you feel like Rhodes is the same thing where if it gets above a certain number, the Colts probably want him back, but if it gets to do a bidding war, he's probably going to be walking.
Yeah, I think that's probably a great way of putting it, is that they want him back if the price is manageable for them. But I think the thing we have to keep in mind, too, is that Chris Ballard at this particular position has been really good at finding bargain free agents to come in and play really well. I mean, they claimed to Pierre Desir off the waiver wire at one point, and he played really good football for them for a year. They gave him a deal that they probably regretted. He wasn't as good, but again, didn't really cost them a ton of guaranteed money or dead cap or anything like that. But they hadn't ended up releasing him, but he did have one really good year with the Colts. And then, they got Xavier Rhodes for, I think it was $3.5 million last year, which is really low. It was just about half what they were paying Pierre Desir going into the season. So that's the only thing I'll say is that Chris Ballard likes to kind of bargain hunt. And if Xavier Rhodes gets pretty high up there, I don't know that he's going to match. And again, there are some guys out there that, I don't know, maybe there is a Josh Norman or a Patrick Peterson or somebody like that who comes, again, those guys may be a little higher in the market, kind of naming some corners who are who have been released. But that, again, those kind of tend to be Chris Ballard targets as well, guys who have been cut. The other thing about this with the defense is I tend to believe that in the Colts defense, the cover two, corner is, again, they're all important positions, but I think the outside corner is not as important as other spots as, say, obviously the three technique or the weak side linebacker where Darius Leonard's going to be. Some other spots, and the edge rush, I think Chris Ballard is going to want to save his money for the spots that are crucially important to this defense, and I don't think, outside corner is in the top, two or three on that list.
Yeah, Xavier Rhodes is going to be a name to watch here in the next couple weeks, obviously from the Colts' perspective. But the last two names on the list here, Jimmy, can combine them together here. Justin Houston and Danico Autry. I feel like at this point, I'd be very surprised if Justin Houston comes back just because age, he kind of was very consistent last year. And also, I think a team out there like a contender, a win-now team like a Green Bay if they cut Preston Smith or even a reunion in Kansas City, for example. Like a team maybe takes like a cheaper pay cut and goes to like a ring chasing for a year or two if I'm Justin Houston. And for Danico Autry, I have to wonder too, let's say they pay T.Y. Hilton or if they pay Xavier Rhodes as well and you go out and get an edge rusher, that money could go very quick. And I feel like DeNico Autry's earned himself a payday here where I feel like it might not be an ending.
Yeah. So for Justin Houston, I'm with you. I mean, he's an older guy. He has produced. I mean, we know Chris Ballard has said he still thinks he's got some juice left. 19 sacks. I mean, we go real quick backward. 19 sacks in 2 years. That's a win for Chris Ballard on a two-year, $24 million deal. They got a lot out of Justin Houston. It was a good signing for them. But yeah, I wouldn't say I would be surprised if he came back, but I don't see it happening either, I guess, is where I'm at. There's a lot of other edge guys out there. Maybe not, like, it's not a super, like, high-quality class, but there's a lot. It's kind of deep with a lot of interesting names. And so the Colts could go after somebody a little bit younger, and that kind of tends to be where Chris Ballard likes to go, you know, at 26, 27, 28. Maybe he finds another guy in that, like, you know, Justin Houston signs at 28 and plays his year 29 and 30 years. Maybe that's the kind of thing he's looking for to replace Justin Houston. So, again, if the money isn't that bad, Justin Houston did show some it was 8 sacks last year. It was a little inconsistent, but he wasn't bad. I mean, he was still a productive player, so I could see that. DeNico Autry, I'm with you. I kind of think he's earned himself a nice payday. The thing about DeNico Autry is I just don't know how many guys out there are as effective playing a defensive end like he did most of the year, but then also having the ability to slide inside. And we've seen him play the 3 technique in this defense, and we know how important that is. And we kind of saw this year without DeForest Buckner, they didn't have DeNico Autry in that game either, how critical it is to have a guy who an impact player on the interior when they kind of got blown out of the water by Tennessee when they didn't have Buckner out there. I just kind of like the idea of having Autry as your starting on an edge, and then the, you know, very valuable insurance of being able to play that 3 technique spot, a very critical spot in this defense. Now, you could say, hey, they have Tyquan Lewis. Do they trust Tyquan Lewis enough to take up those stops on the edge and then be able to help fill in on the interior? I don't know. I know they like him. I know that they were really happy about the step he took forward in year 3. You have to trust him to do that to let a guy like DeNico Autry go. And the last thing I'll say about DeNico Autry is I expect him to have a pretty big market, a guy who's not going to break the bank, but is going to be a really consistent, dependable player who can, again, play multiple positions. So he'd be an underrated loss for the Colts if he go somewhere else.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. Bet Online uncovers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time data odds and props on anything you can imagine. Bet Online is your cover for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website using mobile device right now, sign up today, and receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code is LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, Big Ben is back in yellow and black. Is that a good thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Get more of the sports news you need in less time at the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. Last point here on the Colts' own free agents before we dive into some names here that camp with Jim. I can go across to you as far as what you think about these guys and these positions. But you had a really good story yesterday on Indy Star about the compensatory pick formula. And really, this is something I've been hammering home the podcast for a while now, Jim, is that this Chris Brown's never had the opportunity to really stockpile compensatory picks. He's been waiting and waiting and waiting for about 4 years at this point. Now all these guys come off the rookie deals. Anthony Walker, Malik Cooker probably would have gotten a lot higher compensatory pick if he didn't get hurt this year. Same goes for Marlon Mack. You also throw in guys like a Justin Houston, Xavier Rhodes, DeNico Autry. He could get, like, I'm not going to say he gets 6 or 7 comp picks, but he could probably get at least, like, 2 or 3 or 4, like, they're pretty solid ones if they play their cards right in this scenario. What's your thoughts on the Colts doing that, Jim? Because I feel like, honestly, if they were to let those guys go and maybe sign guys who are cut or maybe draft some replacements early on in the draft, the Colts could really recoup the Carson Wentz trade in pretty short order.
We know how much Chris Ballard likes picks. We know that for the first time, he hasn't even had, you know, the minimum of 7 picks because he's got, you know, 6 going into this year and 6 going into next year now after having made that Carson Wentz deal. And so I think a really good way to recoup some of that value is to play the compensatory pick game. And you made a lot of great points. They haven't really been able to do this before. Now, again, the guys they're letting go aren't like top of the market guys, so they don't have a chance maybe at a 3rd-round pick. They have an outside chance, I would say, at a couple guys at a 4th-round pick, comp pick, and then, you know, maybe more likely for the other guys 5 and 6s. But, again, you stack those, and those are valuable to Chris Ballard. He likes having 5th and 6th-round picks and to use. And, again, the more you have of those, the more, you know, you can make up the value lost in trading for Carson Wentz. So I think there's definitely some merit to the idea. And I think that I know the Colts are considering that. Again, it's something they have to factor into their thinking going forward. And we've talked about it too. Xavier Rhodes, Justin Houston, Eric Ebron, all guys that made big impacts for the Colts that were released by teams and don't factor into the comp formula. So that's a huge win for Chris Ballard if he can play that game again and get some picks back. The other thing is, you know, again, we kind of talked about this at the beginning, was there's probably going to be a lot of high quality free agents that are released and cut. So Chris Ballard is going to have, you know, more to choose from, I think, as teams are trying to kind of manage their caps. And he could even try to play this 2 years down the road, is doing it again this year and signing a bunch of guys, or, you know, some guys do 1 year deals and then letting him hit free agency next year when the cap goes back up and play that comp picket game again. So you could cash in twice. So there's a lot of merit to trying to do that now. And again, I think it's something the Colts are definitely considering. Now, again, if there's a free agent that is not a released guy and it doesn't, you know, it won't count against their comp formula, but comes in at a price that they like, I think they'll add them just because they're trying to open their window here to win a championship. And there are some tempting players out there. So again, if those guys come in at the prices they're comfortable with, I think they'll make those moves. But I don't think Chris Ballard's going to be very upset if he's, you know, all of a sudden next year he's bringing in 2, 3, 4 extra draft picks.
Let's transition now, Jim, over to some free agents who can make a lot of sense for this Colts team. We'll just go position by position here as far as maybe priority list of where the Colts could actually splurge compared to years past when we know the Colts are usually frugal, but maybe at a couple positions they could maybe spin a little big here and make an impact move. But let's start off with edge rusher in that scenario. And some names I have for you here, Jim. Bud Dupree, if he comes back to Pittsburgh, it won't surprise me, but he was tagged last year, coming off an ACL injury. Maybe he takes like a 1 or 2 year deal on like a $16-17 million per year contract and then re-enters the market to show he's healthy again. Carl Lawson to the Bengals, Romeo Okwara of the Lions, Tyus Bowser of the Ravens is a cheaper option. Do you feel like any of those guys make sense to you if you're the Colts, where you could go out and maybe make an impact where you did a couple years ago, Justin Houston, but a younger option?
Yeah, I like the guys that you named, honestly. It's particularly Carl Lawson, which again, I know my colleague at Indy Star, Joel Erickson's getting mad at me because he's got the my guy tag on Carl Lawson right now. That's the guy that's really intrigued him. He had 32 quarterback hits last year. He only had 5.5 sacks. That's kind of ridiculous. Usually, you know, those numbers are a little bit closer together. From what I read about him, yeah, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, is that those 32 quarterback hits were second only to TJ Watt. So he's young. He's 26. I don't know what the price is going to be. It seemed like he might be one of those guys that, again, because he had 5.5 sacks, he'd slide in under the radar, but he's starting to get more attention, it seems like. So again, maybe he prices himself out for the Colts, and then they have to go to kind of somebody else. And Romeo Okwara from Detroit is a guy that I also like too. He had a pretty good year last year at Detroit. He's kind of a late bloomer. But again, I just like the guys that are a little bit younger and have a chance to, you know, have proven themselves in the NFL, but are a little bit younger, can give you 2 or 3 good years. I would say that I think if the Colts are going to spend in free agency, it's going to be here at the edge.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that, Jim. So, like, if you had to pick any position on this list here for the Colts, would you predict, because you know this isn't Chris Ballard's forte, so to say, but getting some help on the edge here to get someone alongside DeForest Buckner, whatever price it may be, is probably the most likely scenario for them to make a big outside move?
Yeah, I think so. Just because, like you said, you have Buckner and you have Grover Stewart. That's as like formidable interior as most teams have in the NFL. And then you have, again, Tyquan Lewis, Kamoko Ture, Ben Banigou, Rob Windsor. There's some interesting names. There's guys with upside in there. But again, guys that you can trust to play a lot of snaps. I don't know. I mean, you're losing so much on the edge right now, just in terms of play time with Justin Houston, Danico Autry, and Al-Qadim Muhammad all being free agents. And so you're going to have to get production out of one of these guys. You know that Chris Ballard preferred to address this through the draft. You know that he would hope that Banigou or Ture or any of these guys take a big step forward. I don't think, again, if you're trying to be competitive this year, I don't think you can count on those things. And we do know that the Colts like to be deep. They like to be able to rotate guys through, 8, 9 guys through the defensive line and all be productive. So, yeah, I 100% think if they're going to spend big, I don't think it's going to be a receiver. I don't think it'll be a tight end. I think it'll be on the edge for a guy that they hope can be a 10-sack guy. Again, just to go back to where you started with, you know, like what they did with Justin Houston a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I was originally going to put bigger names for wide receiver on this list, like an Allen Robinson or Kenny Galladay, but the closer we get to free agency, the closer I feel like it's going to be either bring back T.Y. Hilton or you sign a guy instead, like a Nelson Aguilar or a Marvin Jones or a Corey Davis to replace T.Y. Hilton around $10 million per year. It's not going to be like a mega contract to an Allen Robinson type there, but I feel like with that being said, maybe the most second likely option on this list to make a bigger splurge might be tight end Osu Joe. And that might surprise some Colts fans out there just because they have Jack Doyle, they have Molly Cox. But this is something I brought up here on the show last week was I feel like Jack Doyle is reaching the end of his career right now. He's not like an athletic type. He's very reliable with his hands. But he had a down year last year compared to years past. Molly Cox really started to ascend, and he kind of just disappeared for the latter part of the year. But he's not like a speed threat to me. What do you think about maybe tight end being a priority for the Colts in free agency, where there's a Jonnu Smith in Tennessee who I think could do really well in an Eric Ebron role in Indy. Gerald Everett's another cheaper option from the Rams. Dan Arnold from the Cardinals as well. It feels like to me maybe tight end could be a position the Colts could surprisingly go after.
That's the – I actually think you're dead on. So if the T.Y. – part of what my thinking was if the T.Y. Hilton thing doesn't work out, they take the money they had maybe earmarked for him and go out into the market and see what's there. So I'll start with – I just want to start real quick with my guy, the guy that I really like. I really like Corey Davis a lot. He's really young. He was a former like top 10 pick in Tennessee. He started – he, again, kind of a late bloomer, but he's a monster, like yards after the catch guy. He's a huge guy. I love the idea of pairing a guy with his size next to Michael Pittman and just kind of, again, just the idea of those two guys running crossers and Wentz being able to hit them and seeing what they can do after the catch. It's just very alluring to me. So, again, I think that's more of my dream scenario where I know other Colts, you know, Colts fans dream about guys like Robinson and Galladay. I think that I think the dream is maybe Corey Davis, and I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think he's even going to spend that much money at the receiver spot. So, yes, to get to the what you were saying was maybe they take that, you know, 8, 10, 12 million, whatever it was that they had allocated for T.Y. Hilton, and instead of going to get another receiver, they go after a tight end. And I like the guys that you brought up. Jonnu Smith, another guy, another big guy, kind of a physical freak from Tennessee that I really, really like as well. I think he can kind of serve in that move, you know, F tight end spot that the Colts had. You know, they had Trey Burton in and then Eric Ebron before him. I definitely think he'd be a good fit there. He's actually a better blocker than they've gotten from Ebron. I don't know. Again, I couldn't tell you he's a lot better blocker than Burton, but I think he is a better blocker if I remember watching the tape correctly. But again, I do like him. And I still think there's more the Colts can get out of Mo Alie-Cox. He just keeps kind of getting these nagging injuries that have, I think, limited him a little bit. But I definitely think there's more. And yeah, Jack Doyle is definitely not the same guy he was. But we saw in the playoff game with Buffalo, he kind of showed some of that old Jack Doyle that we've come to know and love and can still be reliable. But I definitely think if they could go after somebody young there. And we know Chris Ballard likes the receivers they have. They like Pittman. They like Campbell. They like Zach Pascal. They're happy with these guys. They drafted Patton last year. I think they want to see what they have in him. And so, if the T.Y. Hilton thing doesn't work out, I could absolutely kind of see them reallocating that money toward tight end.
Colts fans, rockauto.com is the place to go if you want to save money on your next car purchase. Whether you spend 30%, 50%, 100% more, you could save a lot more over at rockauto.com, like over $150 on fuel pump assembly, getting new things like motor oil, new carpet, tail lamps, brake parts, engine control modules. Really anything you can imagine, rockauto.com has you covered over the last 20-plus years as a family-owned business serving auto product customers. Go to rockauto.com right now to see the parts for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us box so that Locked On Colts sitting over there. Again, write Locked On, LOCKEDON, in the How'd You Hear About Us box so that Locked On Colts sent you over there. They have main selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts car over need. Go to rockauto.com right now, Colts fans. Betting on the Colts has to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cornerback now on the list here, Jim. Let's say Xavier Rhodes either comes back or they don't. A couple names here I threw out here for you. Shaquille Griffin of the Seahawks. I imagine he's probably going to stay there on the franchise tag. He's a very good young ascending talent. But Akilah Witherspoon with the 49ers, very long, rangy guy, very athletic, only 25, 26 years old. I think fits the mold of what Chris Bauer likes there. And Shadobi Awuzie of the Cowboys, more so a backup, like a CB2 there in Dallas. But the Matt Eberflus connection there. Eberflus drafted Awuzie before he left the year after. What do you think about the cornerback market here? It's not as strong. They need to go out and get like a Patrick Peterson, but I feel like he's going to make more than even what like Xavier Rhodes can make. So it feels like to me either they go re-sign Xavier Rhodes or they go with a younger option here.
Yeah, they could. They could go younger and cheaper. I mean, I think that's kind of – we keep seeing that. I love that you draw the connection to Matt Eberflus. One of the things I'm writing about today. Actually, I think the story comes out later this week or next, you know, next week, I'm not sure yet, but is that the Colts do tend to target guys that they have relationships with. Trey Burton is a guy that was signed mostly because Frank Reich knew him. Justin Houston was familiar with Chris Ballard from their days in Kansas City. Xavier Rhodes really, really like believed in Jonathan Gannon from their days in Minnesota. So again, targeting guys that have past relationships with their current coaching staff makes a lot of sense. So I think that's a great call you made. Another guy I liked, I mean, again, I'm just throwing it out there because I think he'll be maybe cheaper, would be Kevin King in Green Bay. He's huge corner, which we know Ballard likes size at corner. Again, I think our mutual friend here at this point, Zach Hicks, does a really good job of those Build-A-Ballard things that he does on his Stampede Blue. And you can kind of look at the guys that they sign and go dart draft. And they kind of target these guys. And a guy like, you know, you can go, oh, okay, he's over 6 feet. He has a wingspan above, I can't remember how many inches at this point. But you can look at those things and go, yes, that fits the kind of guy Chris Ballard targets to play that position. So I like some of the names you mentioned. Kevin King is one that popped into my brain. Can't say I put like a ton of time into like watching his tape or anything like that. But again, just given his size and youth, he made a little sense to me too.
Last position here, just defensive line, just because we already went over the edge rushers. But let's say DeNico Autry does walk in free agency, gets a bigger contract than what the Colts want to do. I only have one name here on the list because I think it makes – when I thought of this guy, it just makes so much sense because he's athletic, he's young, super talented. He was a former top five pick. I feel like the more I think about it, especially the connection from San Francisco, I feel like Solomon Thomas is a guy that we should watch out for DeNico Autry replacement because he'll be – come off a torn ACL. He's had an injury history. Probably be around $4 to $5 million per year. So if Autry gets above that, I could see a former top five, top three pick in Solomon Thomas maybe in a guy out there. But any names out there on the market outside of Solomon Thomas make sense for you for DeNico Autry? It's sort of a unique position that Autry plays, playing inside and out.
Yeah, I was going to – it's hard to say guys that I believe that can go slide inside and out. I haven't actually – oh, boy, that's a good question. I wish I had a name for you that jumps out to me. But, no, I – can't say there's anybody that kind of jumps out. Again, it's more to me like if you let DeNico go, I'm just kind of wondering if Tyquan Lewis is who they think. Okay, yeah, just slide him in and he'll be able to kind of take over. I mean, a guy that does have some inside outside ability. No, never mind. I was going to say Jadeveon Clowney. I don't like that though. And again, it's going to be too much money and he's more of an edge guy and I don't know how much you want him on the interior. I wish I had a better name for you. I honestly don't know what they would do in that regard if they left. I guess that my gut would be that they could just go with Tyquan and let him kind of take over that role.
No, yeah, it's a super interesting role that Autry plays and one that's unique in this defense. So if they do let Autry walk, we're gonna have to see if it's Tyquan or if it's someone else in free agency that's cheaper we're not thinking of. But definitely Autry is one of the more unique names in the market right now at his position, especially for the Colts in free agency moving forward here. But last one I have for you, Jim, appreciate the time as always. Looking over the list, whenever today, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but if you had to predict right now on March 5th, 2021, around 3 o'clock Eastern time, what do you think about T.Y. Hilton and Xavier Rhodes? Do you think either of those guys are back this year?
Right now, no. I think they're both gone. I guess I maybe more convinced myself on that. I guess writing that story on the comp picks, I kind of talked myself into that being a path the Colts want to pursue. And it's just one of those things with Chris Ballard where he has his market value. He's not going to go above it. And if somebody goes and exceeds it, he's going to say, good luck to you. That's great. Like, good for you for getting more money. But that's not what we're wanting to pay. And at corner, I don't think he wants to pay a ton of money. I think he's going to want to go cheaper. And if Xavier Rhodes can get a lot of money somewhere else, I think he's going to say, you know, good luck to you wherever you're going. T.Y. Hilton is, I mean, again, when I say no, to me, it's in that like 60-40 no versus yes. I definitely could see a route where he's back, absolutely. Like, again, I definitely think they want him back. I'm not trying to imply otherwise. But I kind of think that he might find some opportunities outside of Indianapolis for a team that is willing to offer him, you know, more money than the Colts are willing to offer him. So my gut says no on both, but I feel more confident in Xavier Rhodes than I do in T.Y. Hilton.
Last one here for you, Jim, just looking at your answer there. And I'd agree with you at this point. I'd lean more towards Rhodes being back than T.Y. because I just feel like at this point, if those three guys you mentioned earlier in the show, Godwin, Galladay, and Robinson are all tagged and they're not on the market, someone's going to pay for T.Y. Hilton, probably a contender we're not thinking of. Maybe not New England, so to say, but maybe like a Washington football team makes a lot of sense with Terry McLaurin. Someone like that could really make a lot of sense to me. But what do you think about just in the scenario we're talking about right now, T.Y. and Rhodes leave, you get a younger replacement in for Rhodes, you maybe sign a pass rusher like a Romeo Okwara, and you sign Corey Davis to replace T.Y. Hilton. What would your thoughts on that scenario be?
I love that. Like I said, you picked my guy. Like I said, I like Corey Davis a lot. I like the what he could do in a Frank Reich system. I like that he's young and you're kind of trying to catch him in his prime. Okwara is kind of the same way that he was kind of a late bloomer. You kind of catch him in his prime. So then to me, you know, the things that you mentioned, they get a cheap corner, they get an edge guy that I like, a receiver that I like. I think that frees you up to make sure you kind of get your left tackle in the draft in either the first or the second round, the guy that you feel comfortable starting. I wouldn't put it past the Colts. We didn't talk about it. I know from signing a left tackle, a veteran guy, not an expensive one maybe, but somebody kind of further down the list to give them a little depth. I know they like Will Holden though, so they might just, you know, stay with that. But again, just to give themselves some depth at the position, as we saw last year, you know, quickly it can unravel if you don't have depth at the position. So I could definitely see them targeting that, but I like the offseason that you just laid out because I think it frees them up to do that, you know, take a tackle in the first or the second round. And then again, in this situation, I think they just want to keep throwing good bodies at the defensive line. So maybe you draft another edge guy in the first or the second round if you can. Or again, this is Chris Ballard we're talking about. So maybe he trades back and we're talking about 2 second round picks. But I just think that they have to be able to target a left tackle in the draft most likely just because the amount of money they're paying Ryan Kelly at center, the amount of money they're going to be paying Braden Smith and Quentin Nelson, they'd be better off targeting somebody inexpensive. And again, a good, you know, an upside rookie, but on a rookie contract to play left tackle. That way you're not spending, you know, too much money on the offensive line. So the offseason that you laid out kind of allows them to do that, which I think is an ideal situation.
Jim, really appreciate the time as always. Colton's not ready. He's a must follow over on Twitter. Go ahead and do so at Jim Aiello. He does great work with the Indianapolis Star covering the Indianapolis Colts with Joel A. Erickson. They have their own podcast as well. Colts Cover 2 podcast. I really enjoyed your last few episodes, Jim. I'm a loyal listener here. So you guys keep doing great work over there. And I imagine I'll have you back on again in a couple weeks once the dust settles on free agency.
That sounds good. Thank you so much, Evan. I appreciate it.